Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
In a week where Catherine Brunt chose the worst possible time to call women's test cricket boring, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Meg, that test match had it all, particularly the last session. How's the adrenaline? How's the heart rate?
Oh, wow. That was... I still don't quite know what happened in that last hour. We declared wanting to take 10 wickets and England batted extremely well.
There we go. So that was Meg Lanning after the game. I don't think she found it boring, that final hour.
No, I don't think so. She did say her brain was fried or frazzled or something.
Yes.
Fair enough after such an exciting finish.
Yes. You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke, and this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw. And, yeah, I guess the other 21 players certainly showed Catherine Brunt, didn't they?
Oh, my goodness. That was a very funny article.
Yes.
She was saying things like, we need shorter pitches. She was quite grumpily saying the scores are going up, but the bowlers don't get the best of it. She wanted duke balls. She wanted all sorts of things. She also had a really big go at Elise Perry.
Yeah. Just say Elise Perry just dots everything out, just waits for the bad balls. She's such a boring batter.
It was such a sledge. Oh, she dots it all out. Then my one bad ball in 10 overs, she sends it to the boundary. It's like, oh, I think Elise Perry's a little bit better than that.
It was very funny. I do like the idea that Catherine Brunt is already, while still playing, she's already one of those grumpy old retired players.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
She is. It automatically happens when you turn 35.
Yes, I think so. Even if you're still playing.
I reckon she's grumpier than Ian Chappell.
Oh, God, that doesn't seem possible.
Please don't let her commentate.
But I do wish in the closing overs of the test they'd cut to her, and if she'd yawned at that moment, I would have had her as my favourite ever player.
Fantastic.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover that Women's Ashes test, so we'll continue on with the conversation.
That's right, and this is a very short podcast because you've been doing so much writing, so
yes.
Apologies for whizzing through it, but it was a wonderful 4 days. Well, 3 out of the 4 days were wonderful.
Yeah. One of the days was just a morning session that even that was pretty much curtailed by rain, but yes, it was easily the best test of the summer.
Yeah.
I think, a thrilling run chase, and both teams could win, and it could have been a draw, could have been a tie. Anything was possible. It was very exciting.
Oh, I definitely was hoping for the tie.
That
would have been absolutely wonderful. But anyway, England won the toss. They decided to bowl. That was... I guess that we've had a summer of wild bowling influences on the toss.
Yeah. Well, England, the decision of Heather Knight to choose to bowl when she'd won the toss was probably made easier by the decision a little bit earlier to select the two best seam bowlers.
Mm.
Perhaps Joe Root might have preferred that kind of option open to him as well.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
But we also had Beth Mooney returning to the test side after breaking her jaw a week earlier. Mooney is legitimately crazy, right?
Well, no, I think she's just got superhuman healing powers.
That's a possibility as well. I was thinking, you know, because the word lunacy is derived from moon, of course, that lunar.
Yes.
So I figured she must be an actual lunatic.
It could be. And also, Alyssa Healy unusually decided not to participate in the match.
Yeah, she gave it a bit of a miss.
At least during the batting innings.
Yeah,
just completely gave it a miss.
Yep, a couple of pairs for Alyssa Healy. Mm. I think Catherine Brunt got her both times. Catherine Brunt, of course, was amazing. She took 5 wickets in the first innings and was motoring along in the second innings as well before Lanning declared on her chances of getting another 5 for.
Yeah, boring.
Yeah, very, very boring. And another thing for Catherine Brunt to get grumpy about.
Yeah.
She also got a bit grumpy at Ash Gardner at one point, who decided that when Catherine Brunt threw the ball at her that she would take a step back and get hit on the pads rather than just, I don't know, let the ball go or something.
Or maybe take it on the body. Yeah. I mean, what's the problem with taking it on the pads? But Brunt didn't like that. She thought she was obstructing
the field, yeah. So she said she appealed and then the umpires sent it upstairs and almost immediately the response came, there's nothing wrong with this.
Yeah, that's right.
Not quite sure why that was sent up
at
all.
Why is that going upstairs anyway?
Yes. But I did enjoy the third umpire, Bruce Oxenford. He had a good test. He made you know, the usual mix of good decisions and maybe the odd borderline decision. But I just enjoyed how chatty he was every time there was a review. He had a good rapport with the person in the replay box. So it was always something like, you know, hello, Smithy, it's Bruce here. Hope you're doing well. I hate to bother you, but you know, there's been another darn review. So can we have a bit of a look at this if you've got a moment, if you've got time?
That was his New Year's resolution to spread joy and cheer everywhere he went.
Well, if it was, I think he succeeded.
Working.
Yeah. It was delightful.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Australia seemed to be dominating this match, right? They made 9 for 337 declared.
Yeah, in the first innings, yeah.
Meg Lanning is an expert at declaring, by the way. Doesn't she declare in every test, innings in every test? Has to.
Yeah, I think she's declared in more than 50% of the test innings in which she's captain. But
amazing. And then we had an amazing innings from Heather Knight in retaliation, scoring, you know, what was a fabulous 168 not out.
Yeah, it was 168 not out, and pretty much she was the only one who was able to score runs. Nobody else was able to make 20 until Sophie Eccleston came in at number 10. But everybody else was falling, and Heather Knight was there just motoring along, chugging along, pretty much unstoppable.
Yeah, that's right. And then we had Rain turn up. And I mean, honestly, Rain could have turned up in any of the men's matches. We wouldn't have even cared.
Yeah, wouldn't have noticed.
No. But yes. It was a real darn nuisance that Rain turned up in this particular one.
Very much. It arrived pretty much just as England finished 40 runs behind Australia in the first innings, but then again they took another couple of quick wickets. They took Healy again for her second duck, and then they got Mooney as well, and Elise Perry came to the crease, and I think she was just going to be far too boring and block it out, so the Rain came and spared us of all that. Catherine Brunt would have been pleased about that, no doubt.
Well, if Catherine Brunt is annoyed about Elise Perry, she could get her out.
Yeah, that's another possibility too.
Keep bowling at her and letting her block. Get her out.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lanning is a pretty ruthless captain, and when you've already got a 4-day test and now it's a 3-day test, and it's not our fault that it's a 3-day test, we just assumed she'd play for the draw.
Yes, yeah, I thought so.
Everyone, like, it was no chance.
I was confidently, like, the commentators, of course, they've got a job to keep everybody interested by speculation. So they were prattling on. I was very confidently tweeting out, Lanning is never declaring. This is going to be batting practice. You know, if England wanted them to declare, Heather Knight shouldn't have batted so well in the first innings because they're not going to risk it.
And then all of a sudden,
Lanning's like, I've had enough of this. Let's have a bowl. So she set them, 257 for victory from 48 overs.
Absolutely achievable, and it was almost perfect.
It was just about, I don't think you could get a more perfect declaration. So England finished, 12 runs short of victory, and Australia finished One wicket short of victory. Yeah. That's pretty much spot on, I think.
Yeah. Perfect game. Just absolute perfect captaincy there.
Yes.
And it was an amazing last session as well, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, particularly the last post, like the final drinks break of the match, England were 1 for 80.
Yeah.
And then all hell broke loose after that. Yeah, it was absolutely crazy. Like we said, easily the best match of the summer. I think the only men's match that even came close was that fourth test in Sydney, which also ended, you know, with everybody crowded around the bat and a leg spinner bowling to the last person in. But in that one, England had no chance of winning.
Yeah.
In this one, England were right in there the whole fourth inning. So it was fantastic.
That's right. So I was really hoping maybe next summer that we would get 5 women's tests and just 1 men's test. Mm. And there was a lot of support for that when I suggested that. But you have a better idea, I think.
Well, I think a lot of people are saying that this match is proof that women should play more tests and be given 5 days. I don't actually see the logic in that. I think if anything, this is evidence of the reverse.
Yeah.
It's like if this is
make
the best,
it more exciting.
This is the best test of the summer. We should make men play fewer tests.
Yep.
Play 4-day tests. With rain looming for all of them, 1 Ashes test for the men, and then the rest, you know, this multi-format series. And England are much better at the white ball stuff, but might actually be a close Ashes contest.
We don't have to have less cricket in general. We could have 3 touring sides playing all of these matches, 1 test, 2 ODIs and 3 T20s or whatever it ends up being, and we could have all of our series of that type. New Zealand every single summer.
Yep.
It'd be fantastic.
Yep, I like it. I think this is the future of cricket. Thank you, ladies, for showing us the way.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, this one's very capitalistic because I'm plugging the store at my website. My website is leavecricket.com, and there's a great big button there which lets you go to the store.
This is an ad for a shop.
It's an ad for a shop, yes.
A virtual shop.
A virtual shop. You can buy all kinds of things from me at that virtual shop. You can buy books and screenplays and games and all kinds of things. I think the best option there, the one that someone bought not long ago, is a super autographed copy of my first book, The Instant Cricket Library.
Well, if you can't decide which of Dan's normal books to buy, this is one that has like an instant library. It's got 10 or 20, I can't remember how many books within it.
More than that. It's like 40, 50. Dozens and dozens of books in there, and they make fun of all aspects of cricket books. Mm. So players' biographies, cricket writers, commentators, you know, and then cricket as interpreted through other media, fantasy novels and comic books and true crime books. It's an entire cricket library in one book. So you can sell every other cricket book you own and just have that one on your shelf. It's
50
nice
for the price of one.
Exactly. And the super autographed version gets you a personalised message on the book before I send it out. Plus you also get autographs, in inverted commas, from 10 of the authors, also in inverted commas, from the excerpted books.
And I witnessed all 10 of these authors signing a book just last week.
Yes.
So we had, you know, in our house signing these books, Enid Blyton, Henry Blofeld, Brendan McCullum, who else was
Elise
Brett
Perry.
Lee? Elise Perry.
Yeah.
It's really worth it, that those wonderful autographs. It will surprise whoever you gift it to.
Yes.
Buy one for yourself and one for your best friend.
Yes. That's leavecricket.com/store.
Secure them jailed.
You do enough jail time to convince anyone this is no setup.
Cut deals that include some jail time.
No jail time.
He's not going to want to hear that you have endangered our operation just to get your thugs out of a little jail time.
All right, so we're back in our jail time segment. Devoted, of course, to the Australian cricket coach, Justin Langer.
Yes, JL. JL, who was this week, was it, inducted into the Australian Cricket Hall of Fame.
Yes, just as negotiations are taking place on his contract, very, very lucky piece of timing there for Justin Langer to have his status upgraded to Hall of Famer.
Mm.
I'm sure that helps in negotiations.
Do you reckon it's on his CV?
Oh, definitely. It is very quickly. It's on his LinkedIn. Remember there's that LinkedIn thing? He's added it very quickly.
I haven't looked at his LinkedIn recently.
Yeah, I bet you it's updated now. Hall of Famer.
Why does it take so long for them to be induced into the Hall of Fame? Why not just make the decision the day after they retire? I mean, he's not going to score any more runs.
That's true. I mean, I think he got in there. He has scored more first-class runs than any other Australian, including Bradman. So I think that's pretty impressive. I think that's why he's in there. I don't think it's for his coaching or anything.
Did his coaching tip him over the edge of getting him into the...
Maybe. Maybe winning Australia's first men's England's T20 World Cup was enough to get him over.
I guess so.
I also heard that the 2001-02 Australian men's cricket team had their 20-year reunion dance and they voted Justin Langer least sackable from his job, so maybe that also helped as well.
Oh, that's good. Excellent.
But none of this seems to have helped him with his negotiations because there have been lots of newspaper reports in recent days that Langer is upset because he's been asked to reapply for the job as Australian coach and he thinks that's not really on. He won a World Cup and he won the Ashes and he's in the Hall of Fame. Why does he have to reapply? Shouldn't they just make him a contract offer?
No, people often have to reapply. I want to know how he performs. I think Cricket Australia should put this up online, his job interview, like a video of his job interview. Name a situation of conflict and how you resolved it. Or what are the others? What's your greatest fault?
Yeah, I think it was good.
I think we could get that guy who impersonates Justin Langer to do the job interview.
Yeah, take the two on Twitter with two O's.
That's right, yes. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, we definitely need to get him.
I've just gone into Justin Langer's LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't have it up there at the moment.
Oh,
but
that's
he does
slow,
have.
Isn't it?
But he's been employed by Cricket Australia for 5 years, head coach of the Australian cricket team, full time, present 3 years and 9 months.
Is it full time? I thought he took a little bit of time off. Well, haven't they been coached by different people at different times?
Maybe that's just his holidays.
Yeah, maybe.
Head coach of the Australian men's team full time, mm-hmm. 3 years and 5 months. I don't know why there's a 4 month discrepancy there. The Australian cricket team for 3 years and 9 months, and the Australian men's team for 3 years and five months.
Maybe Matthew Mott had a break and he took over the women's team as well.
Head coach of the Australian cricket team full time for 4 years and 8 months.
So
and all of that is.
So he can't add up, but apart from that.
Totally can't. He's got his last three jobs are all the same job. It's a terrible LinkedIn profile, but he has got some endorsements.
Oh, yeah.
For sports management.
Mm-hmm.
He's been endorsed by over 99 people, but it says here endorsed by Stuart Law and seven others who are highly skilled at this.
Oh, there you go. That's good. Yeah,
that's right.
Fantastic. Well, I definitely hope he stays on as an Australian men's cricket coach because he's easily one of Australian cricket's funniest characters.
Yes.
And I can't imagine that Cricket Australia will unearth a more amusing coach.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
So a long time ago, Scott Muller was sledged by Shane Warne, or a cameraman,
yep.
Who said he couldn't bowl, can't bowl, can't throw.
Yep, yes.
And this segment is in honour of that particular sledge, and it's called the Muller Award for the underappreciated acts in cricket this week. And we always have quite a few. We've got some related to the BBL. We've got some related to the Under-19 World Cup. What are we going to start with here?
Well, let's start with the Under-19 World Cup. Start with the youngsters. So there have been man cads in the Under-19 World Cup. There are often man cads.
Well, in every game.
Pretty much.
It happens a lot.
The Under-19s love a good man cad. So this time around, it's Uganda's off-spinner, Joseph Baguma. He man-catted one of Papua New Guinea's batters, which was all very exciting. And as friend of the podcast, Peter Miller, said, it's a real shame these are restricted to Under-19 World Cups. Another example of the next generation getting it right.
Fantastic.
And I couldn't agree more with Peter. They must get it drummed out of them at some point, but hopefully.
Well, they should get it drummed out of them before they get selected for these freaking Under-19 World Cups, right? Because they know that the opposition's going to be trying to man-cat them. It should be a requirement if you're a non-striker that it's top of mind.
Mm.
I'm in an Under-19 World Cup. I've got to be careful.
You should be standing like beside the umpire just to be safe. Yeah.
I feel like, you know, forewarned. Mm. More of it. They've definitely been warned at least once by watching the replays of the previous Under-19 World Cups.
Yep. Anyway. But you know, kids these days, they're probably just watching TikToks or something. They don't have time to go back and look at all the. Someone should make a TikTok of all the man cads of the Under-19 World Cup.
It feels like a man cad is a perfect length for a TikTok.
Exactly.
Isn't
yeah.
It?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, some kind of TikTok stream.
Much better than a montage of, I don't know, Justin Langer's greatest hits or something.
Yeah. Or Catherine Brunt complaining about how boring the game is.
Yeah. Or Elise Perry dotting out 10 overs.
Yep.
That's not a TikTok length.
No.
I'm with Brunt on this.
Mm.
Yeah. More TikTokable women's cricket.
TikTok cricket
events.
Yep. What else have we got? We've got the Sixers. In particular, we've got Steve Smith not playing for the Sydney Sixers in the BBL finals.
Well, that's right. The Sixers made it to the finals. So did the Scorchers. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember who won. It was the Scorchers, wasn't it? Yeah. Congratulations. And they won chiefly because Steve Smith wasn't allowed to play.
Yeah, it's very sad for the Sixers.
Why was he even invited to play? He could have. Were they just the first BBL team that said, "Oh, I'd like you to play"? Because he's not contracted to anyone.
No.
Why didn't the Scorchers ask him?
Yeah, well, I think that was pretty much what I was always confused about as well. Mm. I mean, a whole heap of players didn't play in the final. Like AB de Villiers, Vera Coley, none of these guys played. I don't know why such a big deal was made out of Steve Smith not playing. Like literally all but 22 players in the world weren't playing in this BBL final.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it didn't stop the Sixers asking over and over again. They just kept nagging Cricket Australia and whoever's in charge of the BBL. Just like, please, we want him to play. And they just kept saying,
they got someone to write a petition. It was ridiculous.
Yes. The only good thing about it was the tweeting that it inspired from Dan Christian, which was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he's great.
So the Sixers did have some injuries heading into the final. So Dan Christian tweeted out, "Shout out to anyone in Melbourne that wants a game of cricket tomorrow night. My team is struggling to get 11 COVID-free fit players on the park. Warm-up starts at 6:30 p.m. at Marvel Stadium. Free beer afterwards, potentially out of a large cup. DM if keen." And then asterisk, no test cricketers. So that was a nice little plug.
Well, Dan Christian got the message.
Yes. And then after the match was over, he had another tweet.
Mm.
He said, "Congrats Ash Turner and the Scorchers. Best team all year and deserving winners! Well done to our entire team. We did an amazing job just getting to the final on one leg. Just checking if everyone's okay with us having Steve Smith 49 at our end of season drinks." Smiley emoji.
Well, I don't think that's fair that he gets invited to the drinks.
No. You should ask.
They didn't invite Virat Kohli. Yep. They didn't invite Brendan McCullum. They didn't invite AB de Villiers.
Yeah, no.
Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway.
All very strange.
So the Sixers also finished their match against the Strikers by retiring the injured non-striker Jordan Silk. So the Sixers were in a bit of controversy over this as well, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So they were chasing against the Strikers and they kept losing batters. All the batters were getting injured. There was torn calf muscles and hamstrings, and basically Jordan.
And I think some of them were just going out.
Some of them actually were out.
Yep.
And some of them came down with COVID. Some of them were disguised as Steve Smith, so they were sent packing. Mm. But basically, in the end, they came down to all they had left were a couple of injured batters. So Jordan Silk came out to have a bit of a tonk and see if he could just stand at the crease and hit fours and sixes, which he couldn't really do. He just hobbled to the other end. And by the time a couple more fours had been hit, basically, they just needed two off the final ball to win. And Jordan Silk at the non-strikers end, they thought, well, not much point having him there if we want to run two. So
send out our tailender who's a bit faster.
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what they did. And then a lot of people got very angry about it because of the spirit of cricket. So there you go.
And the spirit of cricket really doesn't prevent someone from retiring hurt, does it?
No. I think it was Strikers coach Jason Gillespie came out the next day and said he was perfectly fine with it, which pretty much ended the conversation.
Well, I think that should be Jason Gillespie's job interview pitch.
Yes.
What was your best moment? How did you resolve a conflict?
Yep.
I think he's in the running here.
I would like to think so, yes.
Yeah.
Someone who's not in the running is Paul Collingwood. He had some thoughts. He suggested that England deserved medals for their performance in the Ashes.
Right. What sort of medals, I wonder?
I'm not quite sure. But
wooden spoon-shaped.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't quite clear exactly what kind of medals. At the very least, participation medals, because he was basically saying, look, we showed up, we lived in bubbles for a few months, give us some medals for that.
Oh, my God. Do you think England cricketers would really love that, to get a terrible, lame-ass participation award?
Yes. Well, I did enjoy Jeff Matheson's suggestion on Twitter. He said, "Cricket Australia should absolutely mint some medals and require the English cricketers to attend a formal presentation where each player is called up while a statistical summary of their performance in the series is read out, and then they can be given their medals."
Oh, and that is absolutely inspired. And I think their medals should be given to them. You know how they usually hand caps to the primary school kids. Yeah. It feels like if it's a participation medal, I think it's the primary school kids who should be handing the medal to the England cricketers.
Yep.
I feel like that would be just with a little bit of a summary. It's like, well done, Joe Root. Thanks for playing.
Hope your testicles are all right.
Yep.
Yep.
That'd be awesome.
Very good.
I've got one more. I'd like to nominate Mitch Stark. Mm-hmm. Of course, he during the week got the AB medal, the Alan Border medal, for turning up to watch the women and helping them train.
Yep.
And that's participation goals.
It's right? very much indeed. And also congratulations, by the way, to Ash Gardner, who also won the Belinda Clark medal too.
That's right, presumably for helping the men train.
Yeah, no doubt.
And helping them feel in their long spikes or whatever they did. Anyway, lovely cross-promotional activities there from Ash Gardner and Mitch Stark. So I just wanted to nominate Mitch Stark also for turning up. I think he had to turn up because his medal was being awarded at lunchtime, but and also his wife was playing cricket. But anyway, he's turning up.
Turning up on his birthday as well.
Right, turning up. Well, what a great way to celebrate your birthday.
Watching the final of that test match, I can't think of a better way to spend a birthday.
Cheering on the women from the sidelines. And,
they did cut to him quite regularly when wickets were falling in that crazy last hour. And I still can't pinpoint quite why it's so entertaining, but he's just kind of dressed there just as like this daggy, ordinary member of the public, you know, in a singlet and T-shirt and shorts and just... Hanging out.
Drinking a beer on the sidelines.
It's very, very chilled out. It's very
eating
entertaining.
Eating an ice cream,
All right, so who's getting our award this week?
I think I kind of tempted to give it to Paul Collingwood because that's such a ridiculous...
We'll give him he doesn't get the mullet. No, he gets a medal.
It's a participation medal. Okay, good work, nominated. Paul Collingwood. Thank you for participating in the mullet. I think Dan Christian has to get it.
Yeah, Dan Christian. Yes, I agree. Yeah. So congratulations to Dan Christian. And that's going to wrap us up for this week. You've been listening to me. I'm Dan Lipke at Leib Cricket on Twitter. And Kat Jones, she is at Cricket Bat Kat.
And you can follow us at Can't Bowl Throw on Twitter, which is where we mostly hang out. Mm-hmm. And you can go to a website if you want to, but definitely go to Dan's website first.
Yeah, yeah. Go to leibcricket.com/store if you want to buy stuff. Leibcricket.com if you don't for some reason. And once you're done with that, then you can go over to can'tbowl.com and look at whatever's on there. I don't even know what's on there.
The archives.
Presumably, yeah. All right. See you next week. Bye.
Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.